Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Got a question for you. What is the most absurd thing you have ever heard? Something that was just totally ridiculous when you heard it, but it turned out to be true. Tell the person next to you or type it in the chat if you're online. What is the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard, but then you found out it was true? That thing that when you first heard it, you had doubts and you thought, she's got to be making that up. There's no way that's true. Did you know that physiologically, the bumblebee should not be flying around? Their body is way too big. Their wings are way too small. And aerodynamically, it just does not work. Science would say, no way. But yet, they buzz around. Right? Some things are just ridiculous. Some things are even impossible, but yet they're true. Easter brings up something like that, right? The resurrection. And I want you to listen really close as we listen to the story and you decide for yourself, how absurd is this?
That evening, on the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, when suddenly Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side. Now the disciples were overjoyed when they saw that it was Jesus. And again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father sent me, now I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And those you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also called the twin, was one of the 12, but he wasn't with them when Jesus appeared to them. And so the disciples went to him and said, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas said, "Unless I see the wounds where the nails were and put my fingers in the holes and put my hand in his side, I will not believe it." Now, 8 days later, the disciples were gathered together and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "See my hands? Take your finger. Place it in the hole where the nails were. Take your hand and place it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "You believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Thank you, Daniel. You know, this whole resurrection thing, the whole idea seems a little bit far-fetched and maybe too good to be true. But what if it is true? If it's true, then we are dealing with a person who was able to predict his own death, his burial, and his resurrection, and then pull it off. And if somebody can do all of that, I reckon we need to pay attention. Yeah? What if it is true? See, some of us came in here today with celebration in our hearts. Easter is like the biggest day on the Christian calendar because it's the resurrection, and we were all excited. Some of you came with doubts and skepticism and maybe even lack of interest. Some of you came with both, and that's okay. Any roller coaster fans in the building? Yeah, a few of us, yeah. Online, you like roller coasters? I like roller coasters. Best I can remember, it's been so long. But roller coasters are exciting and scary. You're standing on the platform as you're getting ready to get on the ride, and you're excited and maybe a little bit nervous. What if this thing breaks? And, you know, we're trusting these guys that put the bolts in and everything. But and then you get in, you strap in, and you've got the harness on and everything, and then it starts going up the hill, going click. Right? And that's when I start screaming and raising my hands just to throw everybody off and everything's good fun. But then you get to the top, and it plunges, and your stomach falls out, and you go through twists and turns and upside down sometimes, and just all these things. And some people, when it starts getting crazy, they throw their hands up, and they're going, oh, yeah, this is great. While other people are going, ah! White-knuckled and hoping that they just survive. Some of you are like that today in church. Some of us are singing, name above all names. You know, that's great. And some of you are going, name above all names. I'm not too sure about this. Right? Doubt can be a part of our faith journey, and it can be kind of like a roller coaster. And often, doubt is a reaction to those unpredicted plunges and twists and turns that happen in life. When things are going well, we can have faith and we can believe. But then when life doesn't go to plan, the doubt creeps in. What if I told you doubt and worship can exist in the same heart? And that faith isn't the absence of questions. It's the decision to trust even with your questions. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 17, this is the disciples after Jesus' resurrection. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped. But some of them doubted. These are Jesus' closest followers. They are seeing him, the resurrected Jesus, standing right in front of them. They've already seen him before, a couple of times at least, post-resurrection. And yet, they're still struggling with doubt. If you've ever struggled with doubt, if you've ever struggled to fully believe, you're not alone. You're actually in good company because that first Easter, some of Jesus' closest followers had doubts. That tells us that Easter is not just for the convinced, it's also for the confused. So if you came in today and this is all a bit confusing for you, you're in the right place because Easter is for you as well. We just heard about Thomas. And we know him as Doubting Thomas. But that's not the full story. His faith wasn't weak. He was just honest. See, the disciples are hiding out in this room, and it's locked. And the reason it's locked is because they don't want the Jewish leaders to come in because they're afraid. They're sad, and they're afraid right now of what's going to happen next. And then the resurrected Jesus shows up. One of the 12, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. Jesus shows up and 11 of them are in the room, but Thomas isn't there. Thomas was absent in the moment. He wasn't there to see the resurrected Jesus. And, you know, when I think about Thomas not being there, I ask myself, why? Where was Thomas? Had he just decided I'm done completely and walked away and I can't be bothered. I don't even want to hang out with these other people that think they like Jesus. Maybe he was trying to run far, far away to go hide instead of just hiding in a locked room. I do know that Thomas would have been dealing with lots of grief and loss. And he made a decision to do that alone. And I would suggest to you that doubt actually grows in isolation. That when we have our doubts, we have our concerns, we have our fears and things like that, we don't need to just isolate ourselves. We actually need to be around other people that can help give us perspective. This plays out in other life situations as well. I had one just this last week. I've been dealing with a situation, and I heard one side of a story, and that made me indignant. Because I thought, there's no way. That person should not have treated this other person this way and all those things. And for a couple of weeks, I've been writing this narrative in my head, playing it over and over and over again. Then on Thursday, I talked to somebody else who knew about the situation from another perspective. And it was a game changer. It changed everything. But I had been dealing with it in isolation. It's not healthy. When we have doubts, when we have concerns, when we have fears about anything in life, but especially about faith, we need to pause. We need to pray. We need to seek perspective. Get alongside other people that can maybe say, hey, yeah, but there is another side to the story here. Because when we distance ourselves, we can miss God moments. We can miss what God's trying to do. The disciples then found Thomas. It says they told him, we have seen the Lord. These guys were great friends. They didn't want Thomas to keep just wandering around in his doubt. They wanted him to know that they had found Jesus. They wanted him to hear the good news. I can imagine the scene when they found him and said, dude, you would not believe this. You're not going to believe this. And he's like, yeah, I know. But that was funnier than you responded, right? You're not going to believe this, but Jesus showed up. He really did, and we want you to be a part of all this because, hey, we're back on board. We're following Jesus again, and Thomas said this, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers in them, and place my hand in the wound in his side. This is where he gets the nickname, Doubting Thomas. He's saying, guys, this is absurd. People don't just show up after they've been dead. I think you guys may have been drinking a little bit too much to soothe your own sorrows, or maybe you just got a bad taco or something, but this is rubbish. That's what Thomas is saying here. And he said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see and unless I touch. So Thomas, there's a window of opportunity there. He's saying, I don't believe it, but here, if this happens, I can believe. He was assertive in his demands. He was not holding back. He wasn't subtle. It was raw honesty. And, you know, we look at Thomas, and you might think, man, he's being pretty rude, or he's being rebellious. I'd suggest he's being real. And I would suggest that we've all been where he was, saying, I'm not so sure about all this. His friends are making a massive claim, and he's actually saying, actually, guys, I want what you're saying to be true. I would love that, but I need a little more. I wasn't there, and I'm not sure. I got to have some more evidence. Prove it to me. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you have been going through a situation in life, and you've thought, God, if you're real, show up. God, if you're real, fix this situation. Show up over here. Show up over there. Do something. Maybe that's been you. Can I let you know that that's not a terrible place to be? It's not an awful place to be, because God can handle your doubt. He's a big guy, and he can handle your doubt, no matter how big it is. A faith journey can actually begin when we're honest about our doubts. There was a guy called Lee Strobel. He was an investigative journalist in Chicago, and Lee's wife became a Christian. And Lee was all excited about that because he was an atheist. And instead of cheering her on, he wasn't excited. He set out to prove her wrong. So he investigated the claims of Christianity like a journalist would do. And he looked at the historical evidence. He interviewed people on both sides of the argument. He was trying to refute the claims of Christianity, especially the resurrection, because his assumption was, if this is put to the test, it's going to fall over. There's no way it's true. After months and months of the investigative reporting kind of thing he was doing, he reached the conclusion he needed to follow Jesus because it was true. And you know, it's interesting because God didn't get offended by Lee's doubt. He didn't say, oh man, you're trying to disprove me. You're trying to prove that I'm not real and everything. God didn't meet him there. He met him in his doubt and actually said, bring it on. Bring it on. Because I love you and my son died for you and you're going to figure that out. Jesus meets us in our doubt. Back to the text. 8 days later, disciples are together again. This time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. 8 days later, Thomas has been wandering around in this doubt, doing his own grieving and stuff and trying to figure it out. And certainly the others would have kept having conversations with him. Thomas, you gotta believe. You gotta, come on. He really did show up. Maybe you are here today because somebody brought you and they've been having that conversation with you for years. And they're saying, please come and hear about this Jesus thing. And I wonder, during those 8 days, did the other disciples who were trying to convert Thomas, trying to get him across the line, wonder if they had their own doubts. As Thomas kept saying, you guys are idiots. You're out of your mind. This is ridiculous. Wonder if they started wondering, did we really see what we thought we saw? Was this all real? Or did we make this up ourselves? And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up again just like before. Just exactly the way he did. And then he shows up and says, peace be with you. Then he looks in Thomas's eyes and says, put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Believe. Jesus didn't scold Thomas. He didn't cancel Thomas. He came back for Thomas. He made a second appearance exactly the same way he did before. And without being present in that conversation where Thomas said, this is what it's going to take for me to believe, Jesus said, look, put your finger here. Put your hand here. He gave Thomas exactly what he asked for. Can you imagine the room at that point? Because the disciples knew what Thomas said, but Jesus wasn't there. And they're all just like, wow. Their faith was bolstered even more. They already were believing. They were already following. But that would have bolstered their faith. Thomas' response, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Jesus answered his doubts with grace. And he said, my Lord and my God. Doubts vanished in that moment. He had honestly wrestled with his doubts. He hadn't hidden them. He hadn't shied away from them. He leaned into them. And what happened was his doubt drove him deeper. See, doubt doesn't destroy faith. It deepens it. When we wrestle with doubt and we take it on and we lean in, we'll actually come out stronger on the other side with a deeper faith. And everyone else in the room would have had an increase in their faith that day when they saw Thomas respond. Jesus doesn't reject honest doubt. So take that on board. He can handle your questions. But this whole doubt thing, it wasn't just a Thomas situation. When Jesus rose from the dead, there was a woman named Mary, and she was at the tomb, and she was all sad and everything, and Jesus was there, and he went over to her and started talking to her, and she thought he was the gardener because she couldn't believe that he would have raised from the dead, and he said, Mary, and he spoke joy into her life. Her sorrow left because she realized it was Jesus. Then there was two other disciples who were on what's known as the Emmaus Road. They were walking away from Jerusalem because they were distraught, just like a lot of people in town were. And they were talking about it, and all of a sudden, Jesus is there walking beside them. They don't recognize him, and they said, where have you been? You don't know about all this? And Jesus started expounding scriptures to him, and then he broke bread with them, had a meal with them, and then he revealed himself to them. And their doubts went away. See, Jesus comes near to us when we're walking away from him even. The disciples, when the women that were at the tomb that morning first went and told the disciples, hey, Jesus is risen. It says in Luke chapter 24, it seemed like nonsense to them. It's filled with doubt after the resurrection. And then the verse we started with in Matthew 28, the disciples, it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Even after the resurrection, Jesus' closest followers, they had seen him. They knew that it was really him, but they still struggled with doubt. They still wrestled with it. And in Matthew 28, when it said, many worshiped, but some doubted, these are his disciples. He didn't get bogged down. He didn't say, guys, come on. How many times have I got to prove it to you? Instead, he told them all, the whole lot, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, okay, you guys that are worshiping me and you girls that are worshiping me, you guys go into all the world. He included the doubters. He didn't say that you've got to have everything 100% right. You've got to have all the answers to your questions sorted out before you can go and be my witnesses. He told them all. He included them all. He said, go. Doubt does not disqualify you. It actually prepares you. If you came in here today struggling with doubt, you're in good company. The Apostle Peter, I feel like his whole life was a journey of doubt. If you're a church person, you know a little bit about Peter. He was impetuous, and a lot of times he just spouted off and said whatever came to his mind at the time and everything. You got to love him. But there was this one time where Peter actually walked on water. In Matthew chapter 14, we read an account where they had just been doing lots of ministry during the day, and Jesus told the disciples, hey, get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. I'm going on a prayer retreat. All right, so they get in the boat, they're going across the lake, and then all of a sudden this massive storm comes up and the wind is blowing and the waves and everything. And then Jesus is coming across the lake walking on water. All right. And they thought it was a ghost and they were scared. And Jesus said, hey guys, it's not a ghost, it's me. Of course, Peter says, all right, if you're Jesus, let me walk out there to you. Jesus said, okay, cool, come on. So then Peter steps out of the boat and he's walking on the water. He's like, woohoo, look at this, guys. He's mocking the other disciples back in the boat. Look, I'm water walking. And then he saw this big wave. He felt the wind and he began to sink. What do you think Jesus did in that moment? Do you think Jesus said, Peter, I told you could walk on water, just drown? No. Jesus said, Peter, took him by the hand, lifted him up. Then he had an intimate conversation with him. Just said, Peter, why did you doubt me, man? Don't you know by now? You can trust me. It's okay. I don't believe that was a harsh, scolding moment. I believe that was a moment of love and tenderness and compassion where he rescued him from his own doubt. And if you know anything about Peter, you also know that the night that Jesus was being tried, he was taken into the court, Peter on three different occasions had a chance to own up to being a follower of Jesus. And all three times, Peter said, not me. And I can imagine if I was Peter, I would have thought, okay, I've done it now. I've blown it for good. My doubt one too many times got in the way. But Jesus, after his resurrection, with love and compassion, John chapter 21, had a conversation with Peter that went something like this. Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yeah. He said, feed my sheep. Three times he said that to restore Peter. See, doubt didn't disqualify Peter. It deepened his faith in the end. Peter's doubts And his failures didn't finish him. Mary, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the other disciples, there were so many worship, but some doubted. Jesus can handle our doubts. He is not afraid of your doubts and my doubts. So what do we do with this? Well, I would suggest to you it's time for doubt to meet decision. Maybe you're here today and you're celebrating. You've been a follower of Jesus and you have no doubts. You're confident and you just can't wait till I'm done so we can sing again so you can throw your hands up and all that. Or maybe you're here today and you're actually questioning. And you're holding on with both hands right now, white knuckled, because you're afraid, because you've been to these kind of meetings before and the preacher's about to give you a chance to make a decision and you know it. And you've resisted it every time so far. But there's something inside of you that's saying, today's different. Today's different. Yeah, I've got doubts, but Jesus can handle my doubts. Jesus is okay with my doubts. And there's something inside of you that realizes that he's not waiting for you to figure it all out and have all the answers. But he's already moved towards you. He's already took the nails and the cross. And he's already walked out of the tomb for you. So the question is not, do I have doubts? The question is, what will I do with Jesus? It's that simple. Doubt is normal. Thomas said, I won't believe unless. And Jesus showed up anyway. Thomas saw him and said, my Lord and my God. Today, you don't have to have it all figured out to take a small step of faith. To say, yeah, I've got questions. I don't understand everything. I even wonder where God was when something happened. But I actually doubt my doubt enough to take a step of faith that says, you know what? I'm going to trust even though I've still got questions. You can do that today. If you're ready to trust Jesus to give you the forgiveness of sins that he died for, that he died for, and that he rose from the dead to conquer, then you can make that decision today by saying a simple prayer. It's a six-word prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. It's that simple. Jesus, I give you my life. Now, you're saying a whole lot in that statement. You're saying, I give up, I surrender, I'm giving you my doubts, I'm giving you my questions, everything. I want you to have my life. Are you willing to say that prayer today? On every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you, give you the opportunity to say that prayer with me. It's just that simple. Jesus, I give you my life. Maybe you missed that opportunity. We'll do it one more time. Jesus, I give you my life. While your heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, if you said that prayer today, if you said today, Jesus, I give you my life, I want to follow Jesus, can I ask you to raise your hand? So I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise those hands. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I'm going to ask you to do something else now. Everybody can look around now. I'm not going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come up the front or anything. I'm going to ask you to take the response card that's in the chair in front of you. Just take that card. Take the card. And it says, where am I at today? I have questions about God and faith. I want to believe, but I'm struggling. One of the things says, I trusted Jesus today. I gave Jesus my life. You can communicate with us. You can be honest with us. And Lord, we want to celebrate with you today for whatever decision you've made or whatever decision you need to make. We want to follow up with you. So can I ask you right now in this moment, fill that out. If you don't have a pen, just stick your hand up and one of our serving team will get it to you. If you're sitting beside somebody that's looking at their card and they look lost, hand them a pen if you got a pen. Maybe you got doubts, but you're willing to take a step. On your way out, if you fill out that card, I'd ask you to give it to one of the blue vest people or leave it at the welcome desk or come up the front and you can talk to one of the pastors and give the card to them, because we want to celebrate with you. We want to journey with you through this. I'm going to pray now over you as we close. Father, thank you for the decisions that were made today, for the people who raised their hands and said, yeah, I gave Jesus my life. Lord, thank you for meeting us in our doubt. Thank you for not condemning us, but having compassion on us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us so much, first of all, that you made a way through Jesus for us to have an eternity with you. Thank you that he paid for our sins on that cross, and thank you so much that he walked out of the tomb so that we could have eternal life. God, I don't understand that. It would almost make me doubt because it's so lavishly awesome and loving. It's unfathomable that you would do that for us. Lord, that's why sometimes for us, it can be hard to believe. Thank you for those that raised their hand today and said that they are believing, and I pray for courage and boldness for them to let us know about it. And for those that are still struggling and have questions and need to talk about it and not just have their doubt in isolation, I pray that you would give them the courage and strength to let us know that so we can have a conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.